This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
All right, here we go on a Thursday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. You guys can, of course, hit us up on the Jays Southlands Host Service text line, 913-586-7965. We'll have the video stream up and running momentarily as well. Facebook, YouTube, X. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube. Obviously, we moved some things around to start the show today with the breaking news that I know Bob and Mac were talking about towards the final 10 minutes or so of their show as well. The news from Adam Schefter coming out right before we hopped on the air that Rashee Rice will be available at the beginning of the season. That is because the NFL is going to hold a disciplinary hearing on Tuesday, September 30th at the league offices in New York. So Rice now, barring some other shift in this whole thing, would be available the first 4 weeks of the season before we could see any potential discipline imposed for, of course, that multi-car crash back in 2024. This is very surprising because the assumption had been from, I mean, just about everybody, including Adam Schefter himself, and Ian Rappaport when we talked to Rappaport up at training camp, Nate Taylor when we talked to him at training camp as well, that this was something that was going to happen any day now, and he was going to miss week one. The question is it 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games? Now he's available week one, but could we see a longer suspension? What's your initial reaction to this? Because I think you can view it on one hand, hey, he's going to be available for some tough games beginning. On the other hand, I'm a little worried that now could the suspension be even longer if they're going to hold this hearing?
So I could certainly spin it, and we can talk about what the pros are. And I think there are a couple of pros in the if he's available for the first four games for the obvious reason. We spent a lot of time talking about how it kind of stinks that Rashee Rice won't be available for Eagles, Ravens, Chargers, if it was going to be 6 weeks, Lions, all these teams that would have made it very difficult for the Chiefs to get off to a good start from the season. There's some easy ways to spin it. My initial thought is this is stupid and I hate it because for as long as this process has taken place, is there some reason that Roger Goodell and the NFL powers that be can't have this meeting sometime in the next 6 weeks?
Right.
They can't have it tomorrow. They can't have it next week. They can't. What are you talking about? I understand he has meetings. It's a disciplinary hearing. They can't schedule that sometime before the next 6 weeks. So you're not laying in limbo. That's the thing I hate. Now, this entire season, much like when you have like some guy hurt on and off and you don't know and you're not sure if they're going to be available or this, you're now stuck in a position of, okay, he's probably available for the first 4 weeks neat. You still don't know if the suspension is 3 games, 4 games, 8 games or whatever they're thinking of. And now you don't know to which portion of the season it is going to contract. I think there's more negatives than positives. You would get something out of it, certainly, if the suspension happens in the middle because you get them for the tougher games. But there are far more negatives, Gold, and way more confusion over why it's taking until September 30th to have this disciplinary hearing. And yeah, why a disciplinary hearing at all?
Yeah, that. So, look.
Is that normal?
This is obviously more of a complicated or at least detailed description of what happened, because there's also video with this Rashee Rice car accident, and it's not as simple as a DUI where it's like, okay, you kind of know how that's handled and it is what it is. This obviously has victims involved. There is the fact that, you know, he will eventually have some jail time, and so maybe that's how the league views it. You and I have both said over and over that if you're going to suspend somebody for a large portion of a season and you already have most of the information, I would argue all of it, other than talking maybe to Rashee Rice in person, which is what they want to do, then you need to, before the season, make that determination on the suspension. You should not be able to have a new suspension handed out for something that happened 2 years ago in the middle of the season. Well, that's exactly what's going to happen now. You know, how quickly after that September 30th hearing we get a suspension? That's also what we don't know, Cody. You know, like, the hearing's the 30th. Does it mean that on October 1 that Roger Goodell lays out the suspension?
Does it work
mean
that quick?
I don't know. Does it mean that it's 2 weeks after the fact? That's the part that we don't know. So as much as we're saying, all right, it means he's going to be available the first 4 weeks, does it mean that week five he's not available? Or is it, oh, the suspension is announced week eight, he misses week 8, 9, they have a bye week, and then it's 11, 12, 13, all of a sudden then his suspension is over. And so it drags on a lot longer. I just don't know why, I'm with you, the hearing has to take place September 30th, which is why I asked the question off air to even Bob as he was walking out the studio. And I don't think this would be the case, but is there any scenario that, and you guys can chime in on the text line, I'm curious to get your guys' reaction, is there any scenario where the Chiefs and Rashee Rice would have tried to have pushed this to the 30th, or wouldn't they want to just get it over with?
Because I think they'd want to get it over with, knowing Andy.
Same, I'm with you, but I'm just trying to talk out loud, how do we get to a point where Jordan Addison's court date was the same day as Rashee Rice, in terms of resolving his case, I should say. July 17th, or whatever it was. And he already has been suspended for 3 games. I understand it's a different charge. But that was already resolved a week or two ago in terms of the 3-game suspension. Why is it now going to take another month and a half to even have a hearing with the league office? That's what concerns me, man. Like, I hope
I'm
wrong.
You think that they're taking it far more serious, disciplinary hearing and all that stuff.
I have always said 4 to 6 games. I'm a little worried, admittedly, because the fact that they are requesting an in-person disciplinary hearing with the commissioner in New York, that are they going to lay the hammer down? Because on one end, you say, oh, the NFL just, they hope that as time goes on, people forget. Well, then why wouldn't you just announce the suspension now? Like, I don't buy into the theory that they're doing it September 30th. So by then, there's football around and nobody cares. I think it's the opposite. All of a sudden now, we're going to be wondering how week one's performance could be impacted, how great he looks, but then, oh, there's a suspension. What does it mean for the offense? And then every week we're going to be saying, oh, don't forget, next week's that hearing. And then we're going to be doing the same conversation again the first week of October when potentially a suspension gets handed down.
I can't imagine that the Chiefs would choose it this way. My fear is kind of yours, Gold, as in they started hearing rumblings that they were going to hit him pretty hard. Like, the suspension was going to be 8 games or 10 games or something crazy. And they were like, yeah, we'd just like the hearing, please. Like, that's a part of the process that we're allowed to have. And we would like that version of it instead. Because there isn't a standard. The thing about the Addison thing, I think the reason why his punishment is already decided, Gold, is they have a number. They have a rule in place for DUIs. It's 4 games. So then they're like, well, all right, it's a slightly lesser charge, 3. And they just move on with their day. His case is complicated. He got charged. He settled this stuff. He's going to have to spend a little time in jail as a part of it. He was doing a thing that I think lots of people probably do sometimes, which is speed, but cause an accident, left the scene of an accident, cause bodily harm, all the things that make his case more complicated. I in no way think, I saw someone text, I mean, this just means he's not going to get suspended. The NFL's trying to bury it. I'm like, bury it? If they were trying to bury it, I feel like they would have announced it already. They think it'd be easier to hide in the middle of the NFL season for the team who's been to 3 straight Super Bowls. You can't hide Rashee Rice's suspension. You can't hide it from the public eye. So it can't be that, I don't think.
Does anybody think there is what percentage chance that, because of you and I's feeling that, hey, if you're going to wait this long, then, you know, you basically the suspension should not happen in the season. Is there a scenario where he has the hearing and then the NFL doesn't have a suspension again until the following year? Do they drag it off even more? Are we sure that it's going to be this year? I'm just like, truly, nobody knows the correct answer. I see some people texting in saying, hey, don't forget Willie Gay was suspended in October. Yeah, but his incident was not a full year earlier. That's my point. Like, look, if somebody gets in trouble this weekend, I'm not saying that the NFL has to wait till the next year. My point is, if the incident occurred in 2024, if you can't make a decision by the start of the 2025 season, then what are we doing handing out suspensions in the middle of the season? Of course, there's times where suspensions in season make sense. If you had an incident that happened in the middle of the season or August 30th and you don't have time, but they have had since April or May, March, whatever, of 2024, and they've had since early July or mid-July for the civil case to be settled, for the criminal case to be resolved. So that's where I think it's kind of ridiculous why this hearing is taking place September 30th. That's all. I'm not saying he shouldn't be suspended. No, I totally get why he will be suspended at some point.
The argument is not suspension.
We're not saying they're getting screwed over by that. I don't like the fact that, and it doesn't make sense to me, frankly, that the league is waiting till September 30th to hold a meeting.
My issue is still, look, here's part of my problem, is that I don't like it for the Chiefs for the biggest perspective, that is, it is very difficult, in my opinion, to figure out a good way to handle your business and have the consistency that you require in order to make it work. As in, if you are suspended in the middle of the 8 games and then in December, Gold, you're trying to refine your offense, that sucks. That's a sucky way to operate. I'm not saying the NFL owes Rashee Rice or owes the Chiefs anything. That's not the case. But from their perspective, even though the most difficult part of their schedule is the first 6 games of the season, if I were the Chiefs, would still prefer that the suspension just be out of the way. And then you spend the rest of the time doing what you and I talk about. The only time that matters for the Chiefs is January and February. I don't care what happens in September or October or November. That hasn't mattered for the Chiefs in years.
Right.
Because they are consistently good during those times. They win during those times. They don't determine anything for Kansas City's success overall. So if you're suspended, let's call it 6 games, and it's weeks 6 through 12 or 6 through 11 or whatever, or 6 through 12 because they got a bye week in there or whatever, and then Gold, starting December 1st or the middle of November or whatever it would be, you have to start finding your offense again. That's just harder. That's a harder way to operate. And if I were Andy Reid, I wouldn't want this looming over this. So I have to game plan and pretend like this is happening. And I guess what you do is you treat it like it's an injury. You treat it like this is our offense, and just like when Rashee Rice went down last year, Gold, you just game plan now as if a guy just got hurt and he's out for a month or he's out for 6 weeks. I'm not saying you never have to adjust, but it's weird knowing that you're just waiting for the shoe to drop, I guess, is the other side. Now, from the schedule perspective, that is easily the biggest benefit. They have to take on the Chargers in an even less road game than normal. Normally, they get like a home game. They got to go play a true, unique neutral site game, which I think is actually worse for the Chiefs than it is just playing in LA. They got to take on the Ravens and the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles in the first 4 games. So if he's available through September 30th, the odds of them going 3-1 and 4-0 just went way the hell up. I mean, they are in a much better position to win those games.
Well, we could for the first time see, we could see Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, and Hollywood Brown on a football field together for the first time. That'd be nice. That is one side benefit if this hearing is going to now be September 30th, that in week one, if Hollywood Brown's ankle gets right, and I still think it will by week one, I think they're being very cautious with it as well. Week one in Brazil, we could see the full intact wide receiver room for a first month of the season or first 5 or 6 weeks of the season, depending on how long a potential suspension is for Rashee Rice.
So I'm curious. Well, let's say he gets suspended in from week 5 to 11 and it's 6 weeks, the first 4 games you guys just went through, including those games against Eagles and Ravens, by the way, are home games. Mm-hmm. Is there more pressure? Not to say that there's any pressure on the Chiefs in a way because they handle it so well, but
to start well early?
Is there more pressure for them to not drop 2 games in that is it imperative for them to go like 3-1 or 2-2 in that stretch just because of the Rashee suspension and the potential to mess things up and you know, the vibes just to be off?
I would very rarely to call it imperative for them to go better than 2-2. They can go 2-2 and I think survive that in a lot of cases, Drew. But I do think that there's an emphasis on those games that didn't exist before.
Yeah, take advantage of it.
Where if they had gone 2-2 in that stretch without Rashee Rice, you'd an excuse make in your head a little, been like,
right,
it'll be okay. Rice will be back. They'll get their gears going and everything will feel fine versus now where it's like if they start weird, then lose Rice. It's not even that those four games will feel more pressure packed. The games after will, and you'll be having to do it and make up that ground without your best wide receiver. Look, but let's just say it's week starting in week five. They managed to suspend him.
Okay, so October 6th. So October 6th,
that's the Jags, right?
If we think it's that quick, it's the Jags game. Then it's the Lions.
Tough, but at home.
Raiders, so first divisional game you would have him without. Commanders, obviously could be a very tough game, but it's not an AFC game.
So that's four games.
The big one is the Bills, November 2nd. Then the Broncos, which I think also will be a very big game on November 16th.
And that's the home Broncos game, correct?
That is the road Broncos
game. Okay, that's the road Broncos game.
And then he would be back for the Colts, Cowboys, Texans, Chargers, Titans, Broncos, Raiders.
I mean, for most of that stretch.
I was going to say, you'd almost rather him get suspended for the last six games of the season.
We just don't know the length either. That's the issue. Like we're all guessing, right? We're guessing, here's the next five games. We don't
you
know.
You take this as you're more worried about
longer. I'm way more concerned today than I was an hour ago. Now, I'm way more concerned right this second than I was an hour ago based off the fact that there's actually a disciplinary hearing. And I'm sure some more information is going to come out today. I was trying to look it up, you know, within the last time the NFL had a disciplinary hearing. We're going to talk to Nate Taylor at 11 o'clock, and maybe he's got some more information on this and people he's talked to. When's the last time there was an NFL disciplinary hearing? What were the results of those? Because I was going through when there's suspensions or fines from an on-field issue, the player can request a hearing that's different. That's for on-field stuff. Like if the NFL gives you a fine or a suspension because you wore your socks wrong or you shoved a referee or something, okay, like you can appeal that and it goes to a disciplinary hearing. The player can request that. This is different. This is an off-field issue. So I don't know if that hearing on September 30th is requested by anybody other than Roger Goodell in the NFL, like, because some people were speculating, and I think it's a fair question, and that we don't have the complete picture. Did the NFL already give them a clue of what it would be, and they're basically this is an appeal? I don't think so. Again, I think for on-field issues, that's what this would mean. A hearing would mean the player was appealing. This is off the field. I don't believe this disciplinary hearing is Rashee Rice appealing what he thinks the punishment is. I think this is requested by at least one of the parties involved, and I think that would be the NFL.
I think, maybe they just want to get a better handle on it. This, I will say, and I think sometimes it seems oversimplified, this is a complicated case for the NFL. This is not the standard ones. I'll just be honest. The ones that they are accustomed to dealing with. They understand, whether you like it or not, they understand their punishment system and their fining system for things like pushing a referee, for DUI, this sounds horrible. They even understand what they've done in past for episodes of domestic violence or other cases that they're used to. This is a weird one. Because they've had players who sped. Jordan Addison sped 140 miles an hour a year ago. They've had cases like that, but not cases in which it also involves leaving the scene of the crime. So maybe they want to ask him, why did you leave?
And I think it's key. Somebody was injured.
Somebody was injured. And so, like, I'm not here telling you, like, none of this is to say that Rashee Rice is being treated unfairly. He did something bad. He's going to have to be punished for that, and that's okay. I can't think of an incident since I've been covering sports radio, I'm not saying it's never happened, where it's gone in this order of operations, as in it's been 2 years since the thing happened. The court case finally does get settled.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
A year and a half.
Almost a year and a half, yeah.
So a year and a half since it happened, the court cases are now settled. Both civil and criminal are now settled in the sense that they're in the legal part of the process. Now it feels like you have 3 weeks from tomorrow before the season even starts. And we decided to take 7 weeks before we even hear from the thing. And then he might get suspended in the middle. It just feels like a weird process. That's the part that's throwing me off a little bit. And that's why I'm kind of with you where, I'm a little more worried today. Nate Taylor will join us at 11 o'clock. We'll see what he has to say. I'm a little more worried today that this is a sign that the Chiefs are getting a sense or the NFL is getting a sense. They kind of want to hammer him with some games and they want to make it seem above board before they do.
So if you're just joining us for the first time today, the news out of the NFL today, initially from Adam Schefter, is that the NFL is going to hold a disciplinary hearing with Rashee Rice, but not until September 30th. That, of course, means he'll be able to play the first 4 weeks of the season. So if you're trying to be optimistic, you say, well, at least you get him for this very, very difficult stretch to start the season. I think there's a lot of people listening, and I'm in this camp, which is would rather have just gotten it over with and been done. And so now it just drags on and becomes a truly a season-long issue now. It becomes a season-long potential issue. But are they better with Rashee Rice week one against the Chargers? Of course. Their chance of winning that game, I feel even better about. Obviously, with Rashee Rice, we know the talent that he has as a football player. I just think there's a lot of people that were hoping, all right, by the time we get to October 1st, it's done. Nobody has to talk about the Rashee Rice incident anymore, and everybody can just focus on football and all that. Clearly, that's not going to happen here in 2025. And I already see the annoying social media stuff from fan bases across the league saying it's rigged and the NFL wants to make sure the Chiefs have Rice for all these primetime games in Brazil and against the Eagles and all this kind of stuff. People are going to believe whatever they want to believe. I think you can make a case that it's worse for them as well, not just that they have Rice for the first four games.
If they do, so you guys have both mentioned if the NFL potentially lays down the hammer, what does that mean? Is that 10? Is it 8? Is it what do we
laying
think
down
that
the
means?
Hammer to me would be more than 6 games, so 7 plus in my personal opinion. Okay. Cody, what about you?
Yeah, I think more than six. Mm-hmm. Eight is the number in which I become surprised. If it's 7, I'm still not like, whoa, it's high. It's certainly a number that it's higher than I was originally thinking, but it's not I can't believe they went that many games. They go 8 or more, I'm like, boy, they wanted to put a lesson on him. I will say, I can imagine now the annoyance. What's going to happen is they're going to start off hot. Oh, the office is going to look like what we've been dreaming about, Colt, for weeks, years. Oh my God, they're high flying. Worthy's down the field, Rice catching everything. Kelce looks young again. They're the number 2 offense in the NFL through the first month. And then no Rashee Rice for 6 weeks. I'm going to be like, oh, damn it. I got to wonder whether or not this is going to be a struggle again the rest of the year. Because I do think, and you and I have talked about this before, I think it's really hard to refine your offense in a lot of ways where you're stuck, you've got continuity, it's working, you're a month into the season. Then you got to redo it. Then you got to rework back in Rashee Rice. It's like Andy doesn't like that. Teams don't like that. They like continuity. And I know in the NFL, you got to adjust to those things, but man, what a mess. I can just feel it. I can feel how excited we'll be about the offense. And then we'll have to talk about in week 5, is the offense getting ready to go back to mediocrity?
I would still say though, if you tell me the offense looks great for the first 4 weeks with Rice, Worthy and Brown, that should still be very exciting for everybody, because at some point, we don't think Rice is getting suspended the whole year. So at some point you would have those guys for the postseason. So if anything, it would be this anticipation on the back end of the schedule. All right, wait till they get them back. It would build in some time for other guys to get roles. And, we know that in the last couple of years, whether it was Rice or Worthy, it took until sometimes because they had to with injury, it took till week 7 or 8 for that rookie receiver to get comfortable. There's an argument here, if you're trying to look further down the road to October, that if Jalen Royals had to contribute heavily in week 1 or something, that's probably not realistic.
Some time to get him up to speed.
Juju Smith-Schuster is going to have to step up even bigger. Tyquan Thorne, these other guys. By the time you get to October 1, or I guess it'd be October 6th, is that Jags game, and let's say that's when the suspension starts for Rice, if that actually happens. By then, maybe Jalen Royals is a more comfortable football player, has a better grasp of this thing called
more
the NFL.
Ready to contribute.
And Andy Reid maybe has more trust, and so you're better prepared at that point. Again, that's the optimistic way, if you're asking to view it down the road. Could they be better positioned to cover for a Rice absence by middle of October than week 1? Maybe, but that also requires Hollywood Brown being healthy still in October, as in playing 4 or 5 consecutive weeks of football without getting hurt. And that is obviously a question.
And here's the other part still hanging over this is, look, truth is, the way the report was sent is expected to now be available the first 4 weeks. That's still looming over, too. We don't even know that as a fact.
There's still, I would say, a small chance.
It could be 2 weeks into the season, and then they get this thing settled, and then all of a sudden he's gone. We don't have any idea. I mean, we have some idea, but I'm just saying, even Schefter didn't say he's definitively available the first 4 games.
Right, but unless they move the disciplinary hearing date, they're not going to announce a, let's say, 6-game suspension, and then in the middle of the suspension, he's going to have to go have a hearing? That makes no sense. I'm with you that there's a chance the date could get moved. It's the NFL, all of a sudden enough behind-the-scenes talks happen, and the Chiefs get the date moved up or back or whatever it is, right? Is there still a 5% chance September 30th date gets pushed even further back, and all of a sudden it becomes November? I think we can't rule that out either. Everything is on the table. Clearly, it's the National Football League. They choose to do whatever the hell they want with whatever timelines they want.
Would you rather him not get suspended this year and wait until next year?
You always want to keep pushing it down the road. You always just keep pushing it down the road. Yeah.
Because then it's even easier to reduce the number of games, in my opinion, here at the NFL. Like, hey, get us over with.
If I have the option to wait till 2026, of course.
Every year, Patrick Mahomes is younger. Hollywood Brown's still on the roster. Xavier Worthy's still in his rookie deal. Hell, if anything, it even helps the Chiefs because if Rashee Rice had a tremendous year but then was suspended again, the extension talks, I still think, lowers the number. So, like, for personal reasons, sure. But if it's for this year, Drew, I'd rather just get it out of the way.
If I was Rashee, I feel like I would rather get it out of the way, too.
Yeah.
Just to be done with it.
Someone was asking on the text line, 913-586-7965, can Rice practice what he suspended? No. Now, if you got,
like, he could go serve 30 days.
Yeah, if they
just wanted to get that out of the way.
If they would have announced the suspension today, he still could continue to practice up until game week, if that's what you're asking. But now, let's say all of a sudden he gets suspended October 4th. From that day forward, for however many weeks, he would not be around the team facility. But he can, up until week one, even if he's suspended, he can still practice. Yes, that's the scenario for that. We'll obviously touch on this throughout the entire show today. The breaking news of the day, Rashee Rice disciplinary hearing not happening until September 30th, which likely means he will be able to play the first 4 weeks at least, maybe more, of the NFL season. Nate Taylor is going to join us in a half hour. Up next, we do want to talk what was previously the story of the day, and that, of course, was Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift on the New Heights podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Best. All right, just getting started here on a Thursday. Coming up in 30 minutes, Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN, will join us to give his thoughts on the news of the day with Rashee Rice's disciplinary hearing with the NFL announced for September 30th. The fact that we're even having a disciplinary hearing is news. The fact that it's not till September 30th is obviously even bigger news, I would say. and he is likely now available beginning week one of the season, unlike what we all thought before, which was a suspension coming before week one. We will get back into that with Nate. I will say one secondary conversation and impact this news today has, Cody, is the Chiefs have a roster cut at the end of preseason before the start of the year, and we were already talking about, all right, so it's a wide receiver room that we're talking about on the back end. It's between maybe Remigio and Jason Brownlee or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Now, do you feel, it, depending on the length of the suspension and you don't want to lose a guy, do you keep seven wide receivers again? We thought maybe they wouldn't, but do you?
Not knowing when the other shoe's going to drop and not wanting other teams to pluck maybe hypothetically off the practice squad. Yeah. Yeah, probably. I mean, I'd be more inclined than keeping an extra running back or keeping an extra, guard or whatever the other positions are that they have the option to keep those extra spots or a fourth tight end. I'd be more interested in a wide receiver at this point. Just this is going to hang over your head for what appears to be at least half the season now, Gold. Not the first four games, not the first six games, probably at least half the season. Maybe through week 10. Six-game suspension, we could be talking about week 12 before Rice is on this team, the team is at its full completion, and we're barreling towards the playoffs. That's a lot longer than I think they were planning on. And if that's the case, yeah, I'd probably keep some extra bodies around, especially because they like the depth. They like a lot of the guys in the bottom end of the roster. That would probably help.
The next time we're going to hear from Andy is going to be after the preseason game Friday night. Remember, they don't play till 9 o'clock on Friday in Seattle. We already heard from Andy yesterday that Mahomes and Kelce are really not going to play most likely in this game. Now, the most intriguing thing about the game Friday, not that Andy's going to spill all, but like is going to be after the game. I'm going to be curious, like, just what's their initial reaction? Now, they're probably going to say, we're going to let the league handle, like, but I'll be curious to, that'll be the first time we hear from Andy since this update.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know, like Andy's just gonna be like, well, let's wait for the process to take place. I don't know how you can.
But the follow-ups to those, I would like to know.
It's a weird opinion to have. Does he require, did he ask for it? Did the league ask for it?
Yeah. To find out, yeah. Did they request a hearing? Does this impact the way you decide how many wide receivers you're keeping? You know, have you talked to Rashee Rice? There's a lot of questions I would have. Doesn't mean he's going to answer them, but there's a lot of questions I would have.
I genuinely think a thing that is impacting the NFL's decision on this that we probably have undersold to this point is jail time. So for all the things that they've disciplined in the NFL, for all the different things they've disciplined in the NFL, Rashee Rice is sentenced to 30 days of jail time. That's not something that comes up in very many of these cases for them. So how do they value that part when they're deciding a number of games is something that I think could be a bigger factor than we're probably
when is the
I'll
hearing
ask Nate Taylor at
September 30th. It's right after the Ravens game or 2 days after.
He could serve his jail time and then be done with it and be ready to play.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's part of the discussion. But
he has a whole offseason. Man's off for 3 months. I don't know what he'd be doing in the middle of the year.
I'm not going to do it during football. Not going to do it during football.
Don't think you can get your regular training in.
Yeah, he's got to stay in football shape. He can't practice with the team, but he can still do plenty of NFL level workouts and things. I have no idea when he's going to eventually do the jail time thing, but yeah, I would presume it'd be in the offseason. I'll say this. This text came in, and this would be worst case scenario. They said, what if here's this is the nightmare. He plays a week or two, and he gets hurt.
Ugh.
Then he's suspended, and the suspension doesn't start until he's available for a game.
He can be suspended while hurt, can't they?
Yeah, that it's games missed, though, right?
But that happened with a different player recently.
Who?
I think you can be suspended. I got to think about it. I got to remember the player. I do think you being injured.
So you think?
Doesn't
so you're
impact.
Saying?
I think you can be hurt and suspended.
So let's say Rice, he plays the first 4 weeks, but the fourth game. He has an injury, a hamstring. He's out for 2 weeks because of an injury. The NFL could announce a six-game suspension, and two of those games still count?
But here's the truth, yes. But okay. I don't think, okay. Here's the thing, though. I think the NFL just wait. The same as, otherwise, if I were Rice, I'd be like, I'll take the suspension please.
They would have taken, last year, the NFL didn't have the information yet. That's why it's not the exact same as last year, because last year, the NFL had not seen the civil case resolved, had not seen the criminal case. We'll get Nate Taylor for some clarity on that coming up in about 20 minutes or so. All right, let's talk about something we were planning on leading the show with before, obviously, the news of the day with Rashee Rice, and that is the podcast appearance from one Taylor Swift last night that had at one point 1.3 million people watching live on YouTube. It did eventually crash at the very end. There's like, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes left in the episode.
There was something wrong.
It cut off. It was weird. Yeah. It cut off at a weird time. Mm-hmm. And then YouTube got it corrected. And obviously you could listen to the full thing on Spotify or wherever you podcast. But we'll play a few cuts from it. Just your initial thought. I thought it was great. For the fact that it was an hour and 45 minutes. Initially, I'll be honest, you tell me a podcast episode is an hour 45, and I'm like, oh my gosh.
That's a lengthy
one. This is too much.
I was like, man, I'm about to carve out my whole night.
I was entertained throughout. I think I learned a lot more about just the process of Taylor Swift on the music end of things, but from the football perspective of their relationship, I don't know how any billionaire, in her case, can come across as more relatable and likable and down-to-earth than that she did, right? Like, she, I mean, is genuine as a person as you can imagine. Like, normally you say, oh, billionaire out of touch or whatever. Yeah. Did not seem like that at all. That was the most open she's been in an interview, like, ever in her life.
So, that part of what was so interesting about it is that is unusual access to Taylor Swift in general. So, if you're just a Taylor Swift fan, you probably loved it. Unusually high access to it. I thought it came off as a... Like, I give all three people credit for it, because what it felt like for a chunk of it was Jason Kelce interviewing couple, Travis Kelce
well,
and Taylor
Swift. Yeah, that's exactly right.
And that's definitely, like, the way it came off. Travis is looking adoringly at her, a huge chunk of it. They give you little slices of their relationship and, like, baking and personal family relationships and this other stuff.
Did you have to pause the baking part and like watch it 20 times over?
I
figured you were when she brought up sourdough, I figured you must have been smiling part. So much.
Genuinely, when they were talking about that part, I was like, they're going to come in here tomorrow. They're going to tell me I have grandma hobbies, because essentially everything I do around the house is the same kind of stuff she does. I bake or make this stuff. I'm like, I'm no different than Taylor Swift at this point. I essentially have grandma hobbies.
You
based
sing
on the
songs?
Way-
I mean, at this rate, I mean, why not, Cody?
At this point, I'm somehow more lifestyle similar to Taylor Swift than I am Travis Kelce from a just general interest and hobbies perspective. No, I my biggest takeaway from it was it came off as one of the more genuine pieces of media for people of that fame that I've ever seen. And yeah. Like, and I love it. And like, and the Kansas relatable. City part of it, like, look, she's probably 20 minutes down the road right now at Travis's house making sourdough. It puts Kansas City in a good light. It puts their relationship in a good light. And it felt very genuine. You felt genuine about their relationship and the things that they've done in order to do it. They poke fun at each other like anybody would in a relationship. Him saying that he was trying to go down the elevator because he works at Arrowhead Stadium and them not giving her access. All the stuff that came with it was very genuine. It felt wholesome. Is probably the way I would put it, I guess.
Yeah, you've never really seen an interview like that with a celebrity at that level. Again, one of the most popular people on planet Earth, and two of the most popular, I guess I would say at this point. And it lived up to the hype. It did. Like, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying, like, you don't have to be the most diehard Taylor Swift fan, I think, to have enjoyed what you watched last night, if you watched it already last night. You know, and I agree with you that throughout the interview, you could tell, like, it goes back to how silly the stuff from well over a year ago was about, oh, it's a fake relationship and it's all set up and all that. It could not seem more obvious that they are in love than throughout the entire interview. I mean, it was very, very, very evident. And I thought it was pretty neat. There was also some just really cool moments and stuff about her willingness to learn football. And now she's a diehard NFL fan. But the part where she discussed asking Travis about playing his brother in a football game and thinking that they both were on the field at the same time at one point is great. Listen to this.
I thought the quarterbacks.
I mean, that's how you played it on the playground growing up. So I understand if you hadn't like.
No, you really don't understand. I thought it was like Jared Goff is here and Josh Allen's here, and they're gonna be like. They blow a whistle and then they go at each other and they're like, who's going to win?
That's actually,
I would love to see Jared Goff defense. Let's see Jared Goff on defense.
I've got some ideas.
That was one of the highlights.
Goff, you just got name dropped by Taylor Swift. I mean, Jared Goff's got to be
fine.
Jared Goff, Travis,
Xavier Worthy,
Josh Allen. There was some name drops there for sure. Obviously they were very complimentary of Andy Reid during the interview as well.
Him and Scott are buddies.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
They gave him a little bit of credit, not full credit for their relationship coming together the way it was, but a little bit of credit for that.
What do you think Xavier Worthy, like, do you think Xavier Worthy's phone just blew up last night? Do you think his phone blew up after this?
So that I became like a person who was running through the halls of my house screaming, "We drafted Xavier Worthy." And my friends are like, "What is, who body snatched you? This is what do you mean we drafted Xavier Worthy?"
I forget where I was, but you were the first person to tell me that.
No,
we
I was
drafted
screeching.
The fastest man in the draft.
No, I was screeching. I couldn't believe it. I was freaking out. We're talking about like,
either. I'm like, wait, did she write? I had to look this up. I'm like, she get the wrong information here, but yeah, we traded up.
And yeah, we're talking about cover two, cover four, cover zero. Ooh, man, cover. See, we're learning. I continue to learn.
Maybe somebody else that even knows what those coverages are.
Yeah, I'm not ready to be leverage. An analyst right now. Give me 16 months.
He's teaching her leverages, man. That's crazy. She had her grinding all 32.
Honestly,
today,
but
guys.
This is the way typically, if anybody, like in a long-term relationship, especially when you're getting to know somebody, it is nice to see a relationship start where people show interest in the things that you're interested in. You don't have to become an NFL like scout just because you're, but like showing interest in the things he does every day. And then him, the sourdough thing, back to that. She's like, he's made his own loaf. I just go through and we just like make our own stations and he goes through making a loaf of sourdough bread. The same as me. That's a good thing.
Cody just now explaining us how relationships are supposed to work.
No, it's good. Yes. They don't all work that way. I'm saying, but like theirs has been very successful in that regard. And it's just, no, that part's very cool. The fact that she didn't know about it and the other stuff and the Xavier Worthy stuff. It's all very, again, it felt very like calm and like I said, wholesome and relaxed. And it felt, it really did genuinely feel like you got an insight to who they are.
I was entertained the full hour 40 because I don't say 45 because I think we got cut off at the end.
I had to take breaks to put kids to bed and stuff.
Fair enough.
It was a tough, because like that time stretch is like, man,
it is the other, you know, from a non-sports part of it. Now on our show today, obviously the Rashee Rice thing is the biggest story of the day. But in general, in the world today, it is not overstating it. The New Heights Taylor Swift interview is the biggest story in the world today. Some of you can say, oh, there's more. I'm not saying there's not more important things. I'm saying the biggest story of the day in the world today was that Taylor Swift did an interview. Obviously, there's way more important issues in the world. That's not the point.
So we spent the first 40 minutes talking about other stuff.
Like, yeah. I don't care whatever you watch. Good Morning America in the morning. Today's show. All those first shows take. In the first, they're A block, okay? Their main segment was about some cuts from the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce, Jason Kelce interview.
Kudos to Jason, by the way. He
did a great job.
Just kind of drove the whole thing. Kept asking questions about her career. Kept asking questions. One part I don't think we got a cut for that I really did enjoy was Travis's insistence that she's an athlete and her just constantly tossing about her fact that like she could throw him over a mountain or the silly things that came with that. I agree with Travis, by the way. To do 3.5 hours on that, that has to take some level of athleticism. I don't think you can do shows like that and it not be an athletic feat. Maybe not the athletic feat the way a person throws a football or hits a baseball, but it is an athletic feat to do that show 3.5 hours, 3 nights in a row, for hundreds of shows.
Did your daughter ask you to pre-order the vinyl?
She's not asked yet.
October 3rd?
She did watch part of it with me.
October 3rd.
She has not pre-asked me to order it yet. But she might. It's hard to say. With her, it's day to day. She very much, she always just tells me that when I see Taylor to tell her that she's a big fan. Okay. I was like, well, if I see
you'll
Taylor,
get on that. You'll get right on that.
I'll let her know. I don't think I'm going to run into that situation. I don't think I'll be able to tell Taylor that, but I'll be sure. Although we did do yesterday, the summer, the library near our house, all of these do like summer reading programs. I told you my kids did book it. So did the summer reading program. They have to read a certain number of minutes in order to get a prize. So we
like
went,
the pizza thing?
Well, the pizza we did, but then also at the library, the local library does the same thing. And for the local library, you get to go pick out a couple of books. And so my daughter picked out the books she typically likes. Desmond picked out two, and one was, who is Travis Kelce? He's like, I'm going to read this. I was like, all right, man, let's learn.
There's a book says, who is Travis Kelce?
Yeah. Yep. So like they do, it's a very popular book series about lots of famous people. So,
and there's one about Travis Kelce.
And there's one about Travis Kelce. But there's one that's like,
is there a who is Patrick Mahomes one?
Yeah. Yeah. There
okay.
is.
Okay.
And other like big time stars, right? They all are designed the same way and look the same way. It's like a book series of famous people, but it was the one he chose yesterday as part of. See, who is Travis Kelce?
Oh, I think I've seen that cover before.
Yeah, with maybe a different athlete or a different player. Yeah. That's what he chose yesterday.
Okay. Nice.
Someone says, watch out, Cody. Tay is coming for your job. Talks a little sports and then throws a song together.
Oh, you know,
a little more sports and throws another song together. She would destroy us if we were up against her. They'd give her my job in a second.
Of course, yes. Look, in 16 months, there's some TV executive out there that heard her say, in 16 months, I'll be ready, and made a reminder that in 12 months to circle back, and they're going to find a way to get her into a...
Spilled my water.
Broadcast booth for like five minutes with Mike
Tirico.
How
she's going to take his job.
I got nervous. His hand's shaking over there. He just knocked over his water. No, there's like some NBC TV executive for Sunday Night Football thing. All right. In 12 months, we're going to circle back to her management team and find out if she feels comfortable talking football. We're going to get her in the booth for 5 minutes and the world will burn. That's what will happen.
The way she talks about...
There might be Chads and Brads out there having a stroke watching if that happens in 12 months.
The way she talked about knowing every Super Bowl halftime performer of all time, that's the thing I'd be angling for if I were the NFL. Hey!
No.
Want to be a part of the many people who have done a Super Bowl halftime show? You know, maybe that whole
some point down the road,
album
she's
thing?
Too big for the Super Bowl.
No, man.
Michael Jackson.
Beyonce did it.
I will never listen to it.
Beyonce
Michael
did
Jackson
it.
Did the halftime Super Bowl at the absolute peak of his popularity. So did Justin Timberlake. There is no too
Justin
big.
Justin Timberlake's
to do
not bigger than the Super Bowl, though. Taylor Swift's bigger.
No, man. There's no Michael Jackson. There is no too big to do the Super Bowl halftime show, in my opinion. That doesn't exist. There is no artist too big for
I think
that.
At some point in her career, she'll do it. I don't know if it's happening in the next 5 years. At some point, I think she will perform a halftime show, yes, at a Super Bowl. I think it'll definitely have to be once Travis is out of the league. Like, I don't think she would do it. Like,
at the risk she's doing the Super Bowl halftime show when he's playing?
Yeah.
You might be right.
Yeah,
but
league,
I do think
yeah.
she'll do. I do feel like that's what I would be angling for if I were the NFL. Trying to figure out a way to get her in there. Again, if you missed the news earlier today, we'll continue to talk about it here in 10 minutes with Nate Taylor. Rashee Rice is not likely to be suspended for the first four games of the season. He has a disciplinary hearing on September 30th now at the NFL. Adam Schefter reporting that as a result of that, he likely will be available for the first four games of the NFL season, and then we'll see. So we'll talk more about that with Nate Taylor coming up in 10 minutes. But Royals yesterday had a chance at the sweep. Things went south quick.
Yeah.
As Seth Lugo got his teeth kicked in the first inning. I'm going to set aside for a minute the way that game ended being incredibly frustrating, and instead focus on the two guys who blew it for them yesterday, which were Carlos Estevez and Seth Lugo. I understand they left 1,000 runners on base, but they gave up 5 first inning runs. That's two guys you could have traded at the All-Star break. You didn't trade, and one of which you gave an extension to. And since that moment, neither of those guys are working all that well. So, like, yeah, there is part of me that thinks, is Lugo hurt? Is Estevez off?
Yeah.
Did you make the right decisions in not selling? All that stuff.
Yeah, so first inning was extremely frustrating. You give up 5 runs. You don't give your team a chance to win a baseball game when you do that. You're fortunate you were playing the Nationals. That's how you got in the position
to tie
it back up. And then ultimately, you should have still won that baseball game, right? I think Seth Lugo, though, second straight start allowing 7 runs, 37-pitch, 5-run first inning. You give up a grand slam to make it 5-0. Definitely concerning seeing his recent performances. Now, Q was pressed in postgame a little bit, and he was insistent that there is no injury. Basically, Seth Lugo would tell them if there was something wrong. Like, so they're insistent that there is nothing wrong. There's not at one point early this year, I believe he had a blister.
Yeah.
I'm understanding that it's not a blister issue anymore. Like there was earlier on in the season that they were at one point maybe a little concerned about. I will say this, though. You said, hey, did they make a mistake by maybe not trading him? I would say this. The Lugo trade was not just about, or our extension, I'm sorry, was not just about 2025. It is about him being in rotation still next year. Now,
if he's going to fall off, it's too early to say he's just falling off.
It's not about this.
How bad
start next year, if he's not good, that's when it's a problem. If Seth Lugo's not good next year, it is a problem. That's how I'll judge the extension, not what he does
the
final
rest of this year.
5 weeks, even though they need him to be better. Clearly, it's not been acceptable the last couple outings, and he knows that first and foremost. I'm just saying the extension. I'm not saying, oh, 3 bad outings. The extension was a terrible idea. That, to me, would be foolish.
Yeah, I agree.
Next year is ultimately, if he struggles the rest of this year and then next year he gets off to a bad start, then it's very obvious at that point it was a mistake. But I think it's way too early to say, oh, yeah, should have traded him. He's been bad for 3 outings. That's just like... rush reaction to me, ridiculousness.
People wanted to rush that reaction.
Know.
Now, social media is bad about that.
Yeah.
But look, it's a couple of bad starts. I'm not going to send it into a whole panic, but this is what's been so frustrating about this team is they're not a bad baseball team. I've said that for a long time, and I stand by that. They are just not quite good enough on offense, not quite good enough in the bullpen, not quite good enough in situational hitting. And if they were just a little bit better in those areas because of how good the starting pitching has been a majority of this year, they'd be a playoff team. They're just like, they're so close you can taste it to being a playoff team, but they continuously, like yesterday, man, you had the chance. You were down 5-0. You fought back. You had a million runners on base and even win. You're rolling into double plays in back-to-back innings, even though you had runners, two runners on. You fought back and you got the lead and you did it. And then Estevez gave it up anyway. And you're like, ugh, really? What did you do all this? Those games are more frustrating than if they just given up 5 in the first and lost 7-1, Gold. The game became more frustrating as a loss because they gave themselves life, hope, any of the stuff that I wasn't anticipating in that start. But yeah, Seth Lugo's, he's kind of going through it right now. And there's a part that you're like, do you need to skip a start? Remember, wasn't a full-time starter for a long time. Arm fatigue stuff they used to talk about could be an issue at some point. They've kind of buried that. But I mean, I still wonder in his second year as a full-time starter if there's some part of that that eventually catches up with you. That's all. You look confused.
Yeah, someone says, why should we trade Estevez? You guys said he's the best closer ever all year. We said we liked Urseg. You guys said that wasn't right. Again, same answer to Seth Lugo. If you think that the last week for Carlos means that they should have traded him, I don't know what to tell you. I think that's, once again, a rush reaction. At the deadline, actually the day of the deadline, you and I said, based off of the return on relievers, we would have both, go back and play the audio, we can play it for you if you need it. We both said we would have been open to trading Carlos because of the return you could get. He also, though, has control for next year. So if you are basing should have traded Lugo and Carlos off of the last week and for Lugo the last 2 weeks, then you didn't want them to have them on the team anyway, and that you were waiting for an opportunity for them to struggle to say, I told you so. That's all that means to me.
Can I point out statistically they've been very similar pitchers? 2.52 ERA versus 2.82 ERA, 50 games versus 53 games, similar whips. Like they've largely been very similar pitchers from a performance standpoint. If you're just saying I'd rather have Urseg close games like yesterday, right? Where and by the way, wouldn't necessarily mean he'd pitch there still. I'm not saying you could have entertained trading Carlos then. That's why we said it. And I would say it's not too early to say, boy, should we have? But it's too early to say they're just done. As in Lugo doesn't have it anymore because he's getting roughed up. It's not too soon to look back and be like, should we have done the extension route instead of the other one? I can hem and haw and think about whether or not
you like the extension at the time, and so did I, and that's not changing after three bad outings is all I'm trying to say.
I wouldn't go back and undo it. I'm saying if you want to just question in your head, was that the right call at the time? This would be giving you some ammunition.
Well, that's my point, though, is like if you were dead set against them giving him an extension, then, yeah, now you're coming out of the woodwork all of a sudden trying to say that, see, I told you, you were awfully quiet for the prior couple weeks. My point is like Seth Lugo, if he struggles the rest of this season and gets off to a bad start next year, then yeah, it'll clearly be a mistake. I just don't believe in the idea of, hey, the extension happens. It seemed like a pretty damn good extension financially, and now he's had three bad outings and we're supposed to now freak out and act like it was the worst decision they've ever made. I just don't operate that way. You guys have listened to this show for almost 6 years now. I like to think that we don't overreact to things, and I certainly don't. And so whatever my take was 3 weeks ago about an extension for a player, 3 weeks later, I don't just all of a sudden flip. That's just not how I operate. And so I still feel it was the correct extension. If he sucks the rest of the year, we can have a conversation. But it's been three freaking outings.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, it's troubling for the rest of the year, and it's troubling for the
extension. Yeah, I mean, I didn't like what I saw yesterday. I was at the game yesterday, trust me. In the first inning, I'm like, oh, here we freaking go. I was pissed. So trust me, like I'm right there with you. It's not acceptable, but I just don't think we should now act like the prior decisions were all wrong.
You just needed the answer, you know? If they had just gotten the answer in the last inning, you'd have felt great about yesterday.
All right, up next, let's talk about the Chiefs some more. Rashee Rice is going to have a disciplinary hearing coming up on September 30th. Looks like he'll be available at the beginning of the season. Let's talk to Nate Taylor about that decision next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.